price has decoupled from the futures market over here. It is very obvious when you look at this comparative chart. There is no instant decoupling. It is a gradual process, and it appears to be happening now.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're it now, now.
Hey guys, Rav here from the Endgame Investor, and the main message I wanted to convey today is that the gold and silver futures market is decoupling from the gold and silver price, meaning the futures market is not really setting the price as well as it used to, and that is because open interest is at an extreme low in gold of near 350,000 contracts. I'll show you how low that is relative to the years past. We've only gotten close to that level during the 2008 financial crisis. And volatile gold and silver prices are a major consequence of less interest, less open interest, and less trading in the gold and futures market, because it doesn't break. The influence of the gold and silver futures market on the gold and silver price doesn't break overnight. It's not one thing that is suddenly there and suddenly isn't, but it erodes. And we are seeing that erosion now because as open interest remains very, very low, meaning liquidity in the gold and silver futures market is very low, that makes the price more volatile. And that is exactly what we are seeing now. So be careful what you wish for. We do all wish for the gold and silver price to decouple from the futures market, which is an unjust price because it sets the dollar as the money and gold and futures as the commodity on which they're being traded, which is not the monetary reality of things. It's not necessarily what is done on the gold and silver futures market that is so unjust, but the existence of the market itself. Really, all other commodities should be priced in gold and silver ounces, and dollars should not be traded for gold and silver ounces on a futures contract basis. But in any case, we are now seeing what happens when the physical market decouples from the futures market is going to get more extreme from here. We are also seeing something very interesting in gold miner stocks, gold and silver mining stocks. They are not declining in gold terms as they were during the last gold and silver bear market. They are near their highs in gold terms. Priced in gold ounces, gold and silver mining stocks are still very near their recent highs, which means that this is something else. This is not a bear market. This is the dollar trying to reassert itself in a global crisis in which we are in, as the Straits of Hormuz are still closed, so they are opening up slightly. And tomorrow apparently is the open the effing Straits Day, as President Trump has said. It's also the seventh day of Passover, the seventh day of Pesach, when it was God opening the Straits of the Red Sea.
The wind opens the sea!
God opens the sea with the blast of his nostrils.
For the children of Israel, is that a coincidence? I don't know. And finally, we have Japanese rates breaking the 2.4% mark that hasn't been hit since the Asian financial crisis of 1998. This is the final support for rates. And after that, we are in outer space for Japan. And Japan gets most of its oil, I hear 90% or more, from the Strait of Hormuz. They are in dire straits, pun intended. And if they fall apart, the entire Western monetary system falls apart, the entire fiat monetary system, which is based on the dollar with the yen a close second, based on the deal that America made with Japan and Tokyo after the nuking of the country. As that unravels, the Western monetary system unravels, and gold and silver reassert themselves as money in direct exchange because there is nothing else to do once the dollar and the yen collapse, and they will collapse together. This video is brought to you by Silver 47, symbol AGA in Canada, symbol AAGAF in the United States. This is the coin that they have for sale. They are, of course, an exploration miner of which I own shares. I own shares of these types of companies because I believe that we have encountered a fundamental repricing of gold and silver since the break of 50, and soon big mining companies are going to notice this, and these companies are going to be bought up by the pieces of capital that are much bigger than them, and shareholders are going to benefit. It's going to benefit every single explorer? No, but I believe that Silver 47 is a decent bet for myself. For you, you decide for yourself. I don't give advice. For myself to stake some amount of capital on in anticipation that they will be discovered by a much bigger company. This is Silver 47's coin they have for sale. The premium is only about 8%. It's less than half of the premium for a U.S. Silver Eagle coin. Silver 47, 1 ounce, 0.9995 silver collectible round. This is just a fun lark that they're doing. $79 an ounce. And you can see here, there's the Hughes H1 razors for those of you who are airplane fans, those kinds of things. World speed record of... what is it, 352 miles an hour in 1935? I didn't know that. I saw that movie about Howard Hughes when he was drinking a lot of milk in that weird room. But here you can see this coin has the AAGAF symbol on it. So if you always wondered what the symbol for the stock was, it's right there on the coin. You can get the coin. You will never forget. And with that, let's go to the slides. Here, guys, is the chart that shows you that the gold price is decoupling from the gold and silver or the gold futures market. Gold open interest and price no longer correlate. We have a fluctuation in the gold price between $4,000 and $5,400. That's a $1,400 fluctuation area. And we see here that the price is going up and down since February, since the top here in gold and silver. This is gold specifically, but you can see here since then, open interest has collapsed to around 400,000 contracts, and the price has been going up and down wildly from about 46 or 4,400 down here to about a top of 5,500, 5,400, and then a bottom again of around 4,000, maybe 4,100. And then we're up here to about 4,800 again. And you can see here in the correlating open interest numbers, these are these bars down here, you can see pretty easily that the open interest hasn't really gone much of anywhere from February to the middle or the end of March. And it has fallen from about 400,000 contracts to now about 350,000 contracts. And during the time when it has fallen from 400,000, 350,000, which hasn't been replicated since the 2008 financial crisis, mind you, the price has actually gone up. So the price is going up on falling open interest. It is wildly zigzagging as open interest stays relatively steady, which means that the activity in the futures market in gold is not really affecting the price so much. We're seeing a withdrawal of liquidity from the contracts, and that is making the gold price a lot more volatile, and it's going to get worse as these markets continue to decouple. There is no instant decoupling. It is a gradual process, and it appears to be happening now.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're it now, now.
Now, looking more deeply into the open interest situation relative to the price, you can see here going back to 2008, this line over here is the 2008 bottom in open interest, this horizontal line over here. And this is where we are now at about 350,000. We're actually at even below this now. This is about 360, 370,000. And we've gone below that to about 350,000 now. So we are about over here where my pointer is circling. This is extremely low. This has not been hit since 2008 over here. But you can see these rectangles that I drew over here show you that in each major rally since 2008, since before the financial crisis to now, you can see there was a rally here with the price moving higher. This blue line is the gold price moving substantially higher. And here you can see a peak in open interest up to about 600,000 contracts. You can see the same thing here from the 2008 bottom until 2011, that open interest rocketed from about 280,000 contracts to about 700,000 contracts. And you can see the same thing here at the beginning of the bull market after the 2015 bear market bottom. In 2016, the price went up from about 1054 to about, what is that, $1,400. And open interest spiked from about 400,000 to 650,000 contracts. Same thing over here in 2019. Until the 2020 lockdowns, there was an all-time spike, all-time high to about 800,000 contracts in open interest in gold contracts. That's the amount of contracts that are open in the gold futures market. But here you see something different in the red rectangle. What is that difference? You see this enormous spike in price from $2,000 an ounce to about $5,500, $5,600 an ounce. That is more than a doubling. And what has happened to open interest? It has gone basically nowhere on net. It was about 450,000 contracts at the beginning of this rally. And now it is even lower. It is about 350,000. We have actually lost about 100,000 contracts as this rally has progressed. You can see on a long-term time scale, or I mean a medium term at least in the last 2 years, that price has decoupled from the futures market over here. It is very obvious when you look at this comparative chart. Now, what about silver open interest? We can see here I drew the black line where we are now at about 115,000 contracts. We haven't been this low since also around 2012, maybe. I didn't go back that far on the chart here, though I think the last time we were at this number of 115,000 was around 2012, and we are substantially below the low in open interest that happened post lockdowns when the COVID era began. There is no interest. There is very little liquidity in the silver futures market as well, which means that prices of gold and silver are going to get a lot more volatile, not as volatile as the dollar itself, or as volatile as tech stocks are going to become. Silver and gold are still going to be relatively less volatile than other derivatives. But as the decoupling progresses from the futures market, we're going to see some huge swings. Gold miners refuse to decline in gold terms. This is, I think, one of the biggest proofs that we are nowhere near a bear market in gold and silver. You can see here that how have gold mining stocks been acting in gold terms? They are still near their highs, meaning this is an inverted chart. So the lower you go, the more expensive gold stocks are in gold terms, meaning how many ounces of gold does it take to buy one share of gold stock or gold stock index, in this case, the Huey. So you can see we're right near the bottom here. So we're right near the highs in gold stocks priced in gold. The fact that this has not gone up as it did during the bear markets of 2015 and the huge collapse in gold mining stock shares in 2020. You can see that over here. And there was another bear market in gold mining stocks from 2020 until 2025, actually. But we're back down over here at 5.78. And the low, meaning the high in gold stocks relative to gold, is at about 5. We are very close to that, and we could hit it any day. This is not a bear market in gold stocks at all. Liftoff time for Japanese rates. This chart came out this morning. We have finally broken through the final resistance zone for Japanese rates. That was over here in 1998 during the Asian financial crisis at about 2.4. We have hit 2.422, and the reason this is happening, at least the proximate cause, is the fact that Hormuz is still blocked up by about 85-80%, something like that. I'll show the chart in the next few slides. It might be the next one, actually. I don't know. But as these rates go higher and higher, Japan is risking a vortex over here where rates go higher and the yen goes lower, because the yen basically is Japanese government bonds, because most of what the Bank of Japan owns that issues the yen is Japanese government bonds. So generally speaking, the higher rates go, the lower the yen will continue to fall. Hormuz actually is slowly opening up, which is why I would ignore all headlines as to what Trump is saying, as to what Iran is saying. Just watch the actual ships that are going through. You can see here that we are at 20% of normal. These used to be at about 1% of normal about a week ago or a week and a half ago. We were at about 99% blockage. Now we are at about 80% blockage. We have 12 ships going through in the last 24 hours, an average normal daily volume of about 60 ships. And you can see here is the volume going up slowly over the last week. This is a week ago, and we're slightly higher now. The insurance premium is at about 6.7 times normal. It used to be about 20 times normal. So we do have a slow, gradual opening up over the strait. Is this a trend, or is this just a fluke? We'll see. But as Trump shared in a very presidential truth that he truthed, now, it's strange that in the time of lies, almost complete lies everywhere, where nobody can tell the truth, that the word truth has become a verb. But anyway, he says that Tuesday is going to be open up the bleeping straight day, which I think is kind of coincidental or interesting because that day is also open up the Red Sea Day. It is going to be the seventh day of Passover. I'm going to be offline celebrating with my family and the rest of the Jewish people the splitting of the sea, which we'll read in the Torah. And we'll see if Hormuz opens up on that day or not, and if Trump follows through on his word to blow up Iranian infrastructure, which would make things a lot worse in terms of the dollar and prices. Who knows what will happen to silver and gold? But oil will probably go up in that event and eventually lead to the collapse of the dollar, which will lead to the end game. Are we in that right now? Well, if Trump destroys Iranian infrastructure and they retaliate by destroying the oil infrastructure of their Gulf neighbors, probably. But I guess we'll see what happens. And I'll see you guys after the seventh day of Passover. Have a good holiday for those who are celebrating whatever holidays they happen to be celebrating. And I'll see you guys at the end of the week.
Let us go from this place. Man cannot fight against a god.
Better to die in battle with a god than live in shame.
Fool! Fool for your lives!
Was your life worth so much?